one of the grand demonstrations that our God loves us and that his love is unswerving and that he doesn't treat us the way we deserve to be treated is through the gift of his written word, preserved through the generations, that we this day might hear the voice of Jesus as it comes to us in the written word. And we're in John chapter 10 as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the Gospel according to St. John. We'll be looking this morning at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. John 10, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, our request now is simple and yet bold, that we might hear your voice, and that as we hear your voice, we might follow you more faithfully, that we might more fully experience the abundant life that you came to give. This we pray in your precious and saving name. Amen. When he was 80 years old, a man named Moses did something pretty rare for an 80-year-old man. He changed careers. He went from being the shepherd of his father-in-law Jethro's sheep to being the shepherd of God's sheep, the people of Israel. He did this because God himself called him to do so. God spoke to Moses from a bush that was burning and yet was not consumed. When Moses asked the name of the one who was speaking, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent you, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. In our passage this morning, on multiple occasions, Jesus uses that sacred name, I am, to refer to himself. The one who had mysteriously called Moses from the burning bush 1,500 years before to be the shepherd of Israel was now in the flesh. Wasn't that wonderful how we sang of the incarnation? For me, kind Jesus, was thine incarnation. Here, the one who had spoken the words, I am, from the burning bush, was incarnate in the flesh, in our humanity, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, declaring himself to be the great I am. And he said specifically here, as we will focus on this morning, I am the good shepherd. Now, the word good in this passage can be translated in various ways. It's, in fact, the Greek word for beautiful. It's kalos, the word where we get our word calligraphy, beautiful writing. And so it could be translated, I am the beautiful shepherd, or the attractive shepherd. Perhaps in this context, most appropriately, the excellent shepherd. The shepherd that excels all other shepherds. The shepherd who is in a league of his own. I am the excellent shepherd, said Jesus. He is the greatest of all shepherds. I want us to consider three characteristics of this most excellent shepherd from our passage this morning. First, note the authenticity of this shepherd. Authenticity is a word, as was discussed in the adult Sunday school class this morning. It's a word that's sort of thrown around a lot today, authenticity. But Jesus truly was the authentic shepherd, the one who truly loves sheep. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he was speaking of his own authenticity, his own genuine call and character, in contrast to the false shepherds of Israel. God had, from time to time, provided wonderful shepherds for Israel, like Moses and David and the prophets. But Israel had also been plagued with bad shepherds who were not called by God and who did not represent God or his truth. They were self-serving and cared nothing for God's people. Dennis read earlier from Jeremiah about such shepherds and the judgment of God that was coming for them, because they were leading the sheep astray, because they were mistreating the sheep. And this was the case, as we have seen in our study of the Gospel of John, with the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They did not care about the people. They only cared about their own power, these lords of the flock, as the Jeremiah passage put it. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these ones who were supposedly to the leadership of God's people, they cared nothing for God's people. It was all about political power. Remember how they treated the woman caught in adultery. They cared nothing for that woman. They were simply using her as a pawn to try to bring a charge against Jesus. And so they treated the man healed at the pool of Bethesda, or the man born blind, whom Jesus healed, as we saw last week in John chapter 9. But rather than rejoicing in the man's healing, they excommunicated him from the synagogue, from the covenant people of God, because he believed in the Messiah. They led not through inspiration, but through intimidation. They were religious bullies. And this had been the case for many years. 600 years before Christ, Ezekiel pronounced judgment on the false shepherds, the self-righteous, self-serving leadership of Israel. And through Ezekiel, God promised, I will save my flock. In other words, God was going to intervene. God was going to intercede, as the hymn put it earlier. God himself was going to step in, and he was going to be in the midst of his people, and he was going to shepherd his people. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. Jesus was saying that he was the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy, and that his sheep will hear his voice. Stop following false shepherds. Follow Jesus and be saved. This is, in fact, the worst nightmare of all false teachers and oppressive leaders, that those under their oppressive power would start to hear another voice, the voice of Jesus. Started to happen in Jesus' public ministry, and it's been happening ever since. Again, we read, beginning in verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is not only the shepherd, he is the gate of the sheep pen. The only legitimate religious teachers and leaders are those who come in through the gate of Jesus, who are called by Jesus, equipped by Jesus, filled with the Spirit of Jesus to lead others in the truth of Jesus. All others who are not in union with Jesus, who do not enter into ministry through the gate which is Jesus, are those described in verses 1 and 2, or verse 1, who enter in not through the gate, not through the door, but who climbs in another way, and that man is a thief or a robber. The only true shepherds of God's people are those who enter through the gate of Jesus, who are in union with Jesus, and who proclaim nothing other than the truth as it is in Jesus. Everyone else is a thief, a robber, one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. They may be very sincere, but they are soul-killing shepherds. They are false shepherds. The good news is that Jesus is in charge. Jesus is sovereign. And Jesus always has and always will seek and save his sheep. He will, by the supernatural power of his Holy Spirit, cause his sheep to hear his voice. Now, this ordinarily happens through what we're doing right now, the reading and the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes Jesus uses extraordinary means, as he did with Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He intervened in a supernatural way. And perhaps you are aware that there are reports, for example, in predominantly Muslim countries, that Jesus continues to intervene where the gospel is not penetrating into certain enclaves of Muslim communities, and he intervenes in supernatural ways. 1 in 4 Muslims who are converted to Christ in predominantly Muslim countries testify that Jesus came to them in supernatural ways through dreams or visions or mysterious visitations, calling them to himself. And then they come to Christ and they seek out a church and they share what has happened and they begin to grow as disciples. I read recently of one man in a predominantly Muslim country who shared as part of his testimony that each night for about a month there was this man who was appearing to him. And the man was in this bright, he was surrounded by this bright white light, and he couldn't even look at this man. And the man was speaking to him, and he was telling him to write down what he was saying. And so this man got a notebook. Each night he was writing down what this mysterious man was telling him. And this went on for about a month. And the man was very confused by what was going on. And so he sought out this man that he had heard was a Christian. And he told him what had happened. And the man said, well, let me see your notebook. And the man began to read the notebook. The first words of what the man had written down were, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he kept reading. It was the gospel according to Saint John. And this man said, tell me, who was this man who's been appearing? He didn't even understand who was appearing to him. And this Christian said, it was Jesus of whom you've been reading and writing. Now, ordinarily, it's through the sharing of the gospel, the simple means of grace. But this is true of King Jesus, the great shepherd king. One way or another, he's going to get to his sheep, and his sheep will hear his voice, and they will be saved. That's how much Jesus loves his sheep. Not a single one of them that the Father has given him will be snatched from his hand. He's going to seek, and he's going to save every single one of them. And it's our job as the church to be yielded to him that he might use us in the seeking and the saving of his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. And he calls them by their own name. Jesus called you and me by our own name. And he leads his sheep out of sin and misery, out of fear of man, and into freedom and joy and authentic soul satisfying fellowship with the living God. So first, the authenticity of the good shepherd in contrast to the false shepherds of Israel and all the false teachers today. The authenticity of the good shepherd. In the second place, notice the abundant life of the good shepherd. Again, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The false shepherds of Israel, just like all false teachers, were life drainers and life takers. To follow them was to be under a heavy yoke of works, righteousness, vain rituals, and external religion. And it was to continue, those who follow a false teacher, continue under the just judgment of God, namely eternal death. But Jesus came to give life, abundant life, to all who would follow him. All who would follow him. You notice down in verse 16, Jesus spoke of having other sheep that were not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's speaking there of the Gentiles. Pretty much everything Jesus said got under the skin of the religious leadership of his day, and this is no exception. He's saying, I didn't just come for the house of Israel. I came, yes, for the house of Israel, but for the nations. I am the good shepherd who will give abundant life even to the Gentiles who will look to me in faith. He came to bring sinners out of death and into the life he enjoys with his heavenly Father in the Holy Spirit. That life begins when you trust in Jesus. Eternal life. It's not just something in the future for the believer. It begins when you trust in Jesus, when you are born again by the Spirit, as Jesus put it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It begins then and there. And it grows more abundant as you grow in following the Good Shepherd. As we're all aware, the devil says to each of us, if you've come to Christ and you really follow Christ, you're going to miss out on all life has to offer. Jesus says, if you come to me, you will truly live. I love what the ESV Study Bible note on verse 10 says. It said, Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential. That's what the devil wants you to think. But that is not at all what Jesus calls you to. He calls you to what? To a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God and in continual fellowship with his people. That's the Christian life. And what did the Good Shepherd do in order to give us this life? Well, we read beginning in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's unlike the hireling, the one who doesn't really care about the sheep, who runs away when the going gets tough. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Now, ordinarily, the death of a shepherd results in what? The death of the sheep. Sheep are not self-preserving, self-sustaining creatures. Without the shepherd, the sheep will die. Ordinarily, the death of the shepherd results in the death of the sheep, but in the gospel, the death of the shepherd results in life, abundant life for the sheep. The death and resurrection of our good shepherd, of Jesus Christ, proved that he was the promised son of David, that sacrificial shepherd king who was willing to lay down his life for his sheep and for the sheep of Israel. You may remember maybe one of the most famous historical passages of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath. How can that not be one of your favorite passages in Scripture? David and Goliath. Goliath taunting the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God. No one would go before him until David, the young shepherd boy, comes forward. David, the runt of the litter, the one subjected to the shepherding of sheep. And he comes forward and he makes his argument, he makes his case to King Saul that he should be the one to go forward and defeat Goliath. He said to King Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.
Wow.
As a shepherd, the boy, David, had been willing to put his life on the line for his father's sheep. Christ, the son of David, gave his life for the sake of his father's sheep. He did so that his sheep might no longer starve, might no longer be led astray, might no longer die, but rather have abundant life in him. What love the good shepherd has for his sheep. The authenticity and the abundant life of the good shepherd. And then third, this morning, the authority of the good shepherd. Verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, truly man, became, the Son of God became man in order to die. But he never stopped being the Son of God. He never forsook his authority as the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He has the power, the authority, to lay down his life and the authority to raise it up again. J.C. Ryle put it this way: the treachery of Judas, the armed guards, the enmity of the Pharisees, the injustice of Pontius Pilate, the rude hands of the soldiers, the beating, the nails, the spear, all these could not have harmed a hair on our Lord's head unless he allowed them. Jesus was no defeated victim. He was a triumphant, and he is a triumphant Savior. The Good Shepherd is truly the Shepherd King. And his coming requires response. Again, beginning in verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Division. Two different responses to Jesus. It was the case then, and it's the case now. Commenting on verses 19 through 21, William Hendrickson said, Jerusalem had had a great visitor. With respect to him, no one can be neutral. The Good Shepherd, the Shepherd King, in all his love, in all his authority, requires a response. I would encourage you to meditate on that word good, in that wonderful title of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. As I said, it could be translated as excellent, but it is really the word beautiful or attractive Is Jesus Christ the most attractive thing to you? Do you find him to be more attractive than anything this world has to offer you? Does he have your affection this morning? Does he have your heart? Does he have your allegiance? Does he have your adoration? Does he have your life? Is your life an abundant life because it is a life lived in union and communion with the Good Shepherd? Or are you trying to fill your life with things that will never satisfy and never give you that abundant life, a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of love, a life of communion with God, a life of service to others, a meaningful life, the life that Christ died and rose again that you might have? By faith, are you walking in that abundant life, in love with the Good Shepherd, and a fruit of that, in love with his sheep, seeking to do that which is good for them and that which brings glory to our good and saving shepherd? Let's look to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful news. Perhaps we've grown cold to it. Perhaps we've gotten a little bit used to this truth about the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Forgive us, Father, for growing cold to your Son. Reignite our hearts by your Spirit, that we might leave here rejoicing that we know the Good Shepherd and that he knows us and loves us and laid down his life for us. If anyone came here this morning who had never heard the voice of Jesus, may today be the blessed day when Jesus, through his word and by his Spirit, appears to them and they hear his voice and they stop following after the false teachers and the false leaders and the false religions of this world and begin following after Jesus and find him to be more attractive than anything else, and find in him the abundant life, forgiveness of sins, and the joy of the triune God, the abundant life that they were made to have. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.